So good evening. This is Reverend Janine Macklin, and this is Healing Your Relationship with God and Money for Success. And I am so excited that you're on the call. I'm excited that you said yes for creating shifts in your relationship with money, with success, with joy, and with happiness, and all of that in your life. So I say welcome and good evening, sacred souls. I'm Reverend Janine Macklin, and I am a sacred wealth intuitive guide. I will hold the highest energy for this call and will be directing that energy toward each and every one of you on this call. I consider myself to be that chick who knows that God's got your back. That's who I consider myself to be, no matter how your life may be outpicturing at this moment. God, life, and the universe has got your back. I'm that chick that knows that the universe is always, always, always working on your behalf. You've not been left. You have not been abandoned. The universe is working on your behalf, all of our behalf. I also know that when you say yes, like showing up on this call and then taking action, when you make needlepoint moves and take inspired action, you will reach your goal. And I also like to consider myself as that chick who knows how to leverage the universe for greater success, peace of mind, fulfillment, and wealth. Now, does that mean that I have everything I need and want? Actually, it does. The answer to that really is yes, it does. I have everything that I need. We could always want more. Does that mean it looks like I may want it to look all the time? By no means. Would I like the custody arrangement with my child to be different? Sure. Would I like for, it's not to me that maybe my body, as it continues to unfold with me, to shift more quickly than it does? Sure. But for my health, for my love, for my wonderful relationship, my child, for my homes, for the peace of mind, for my travel, for my way of living and being in the world, for the stillness and the peace of mind that I live with, I have everything that I need. And what I know is that when you heal your relationship with God and money, you will experience even more of what you're already experiencing. As far as success in your relationships, success in your health, success in your business, success in your marriage, success in your entrepreneurial businesses, and just in your overall living. Now, I have to say it's a journey. We're so used to the quick fixes. We're so used to everything being microwaved, and there's so much that happens so fast on this planet. But when it comes to doing the work for us to heal our relationship with God and money, when it comes to us really stepping into that power, that presence, and that awareness, because it is an inner journey, it's an inward action, it is a journey for us. And what that means is it's a way of living and it's a way of being that ultimately will manifest reality, which is what the Spirit and Riches brand is all about. I want to invite you to take that journey, though, with me. Right here and right now, I want you to begin to say yes to yourself to take that journey. You've been on a journey all this time anyway. This is one, though, that's going to move you toward what is divinely yours, your divine birthright, that's waiting there for you to claim it. And how I want to be that guide for you is to walk alongside with you to show you my journey, what that's been like, so that you too can access it for yourself and tap into it for yourself. So before we go forward, there's one group that I want to see if you're on the call. And if you are, you star two, I believe it is. Yeah, you star two to raise your hand. Are any of the BWM peeps on this call? Star two. Oh, there you are. There's a few of you. Woohoo! BWM is in the house. who deal, I just want to personally say thank you to each and every one of you. I've sent you emails that say thank you, but it's nice for my voice to be able to land on your ears and your heart. Yay, I see you. Yay, to say thank you. Thank you for getting the download. Thank you for listening to the download and showing up on this call. And thank you to everyone else who's on the call as well. My intention that I want to set for this evening, my intention is that there's a shift within each of you. My intention is that a flash of awareness will crack open within you, in your spirit. Just crack wide open. That there'll be a aha, there'll be a, oh, wow, I get it, that you feel it, that something resonates, an energy resonates so deeply within you that's activated within you. And then that from that, you'll want to take a deeper journey with me for your sacred wealth, because you get to define what that is, what that's going to look like for you. My life, my breathtaking life, all that is what I created. It's what I manifested. It's what I thought of. It's what I longed for. It's what I dreamed about. So it's about you being able to create and take that journey for your sacred wealth. So when we're looking at healing your relationship with money and God for success, I believe that it's essential for what you want. And that the essential key to that is in your relationship. Now, when I'm talking about mana and manifesting, I talk a lot about what's invisible. You have to know that. I also talk a lot about what may seem radical. You have to be aware of that too. It's my woman's journey. You can take it or leave it, what works for you, what resonates. But there, I realized as I was preparing for it, there were some decisions that I made that I stuck to. And you'll have to make decisions for yourself as well. When I'm looking at mana and manifesting, I'm looking at your spiritual nourishment, your sustenance from God within you, and manifesting being that you make something evident, you make it tangible, that you allow for possibilities to flow through you, and that there's this way of unlocking this immense power of your subconscious mind for you to be able to manifest, i.e. bring into evidence. Allow it to flow through you, through your consciousness, through your subconsciousness. It flows through you and then shows up as your reality. So that's where we came from in the title of mana and manifesting. Mana is that spiritual sustenance, that nourishment that comes from God. But then manifesting does as well. So let me ask you, in your teaching, well, before I even ask you that, let me tell you a little bit about my teaching. I grew up in the Baptist Church. Maybe you've heard it, just so you know. And I consider myself the bridge. And I was so glad my mentor recently gave me that, because I was telling her how I get feel fragmented between religion and where I was grew up and then where I've ended up with spirituality. And she said, Rev, you're the bridge. And it just clicked. I'm the bridge. I grew up in the Baptist Church for as long as I can remember. Easily, I guess, 5 or 6 years old. We just had a 100 birthday celebration, and someone had a picture of my mother holding me at my baby dedication, and I had to be about 4 years old in Tabernacle Faith Baptist Church here in Los Angeles, California. So if you know anything about the Baptist Church, start to. If I know anything about the Baptist Church, people know about the Baptist Church. Okay, so then let me tell you. It meant that I went to church at like 10 o'clock in the morning, choir work. Okay, there you are. You guys are showing up. Okay. Okay. You know, then I got there at 11. We didn't leave until 6 o'clock or maybe 8 o'clock at night. So everybody, okay, thank you. We didn't leave until late at night. So you know. So we were doing morning service. We were doing afternoon service. We may have gone to an anniversary someplace out in another church. I did Baptist Training Union, our church called it BTU. I did vacation Bible study during the summer. I did the youth choir. I did the junior choir. I did the adult choir. I did the usher board. I grew up in the Baptist church. And I loved the Baptist church. Not necessarily what I heard so much, because it wasn't as clear for me and it didn't resonate with my spirit as much, but I loved this music. I loved the energy beneath the music. And I loved the prayers. I stayed in the Baptist church until I went to college. What created, I don't say a contradiction for me with the Baptist church, but what created an opening for me was this. I was home one evening. I was probably about 13 years old. My mother had gone out on a date. She and my father were separated. I'd come home. My memory doesn't serve me that she was there and she left, but I believe she was. She was there and she was left. She had left. And I had homework to do. My dinner was prepared, so I had to eat, take my bath, and get ready for bed. So I'm moving through the house doing the things that I'm supposed to do. Finishing my dinner. I remember I had on a gown then, and it was just me. I'd done my homework, washed the dishes and everything I was supposed to do. And then I hear this crash. Kind of a crash sound. And then I hear, and I've been trying to mimic this for a while, but anyway, I hear this clink, 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 and then dun, 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 sound. And I am propelled to put on my robe, and I'm hurled down 1, 2, 3 flights of steps. I turn right, and I am screaming at the top of my lungs, "Mama, mama, mama," as I run down a quarter of a block to the corner. At that time in the world, when I screamed, the neighbors come out. Oh, everybody's running to the corner. When I get to the corner, my mother's been in a car accident. She wasn't injured. She did end up with a whiplash and had a neck brace on. No one really said anything to me about that experience, but it was mine. And what it said to me is that there was something bigger going on in the universe than what I was getting in church. Now, you may not have had that experience, and you don't have to have that experience. You've had something that's happened to you that said something to you on some level within your soul or spirit. There's more to life than meets the eye. I don't remember, but I suspect my mother and I may have talked about it at some point. But what I remember growing up from then on is I could always pick up the phone and call her and say, "What's wrong?" And her response to me was, "You always know. You always know." Critical words that she said to me. "You always know." For years, I could call, "Mom, what's wrong? What's going on?" Something would be going on. It could be in the family. It could be with her health. It could be with the neighborhood. There was something going on. So when that opened up for me, that energy moved me, that propelled me out the door, down the 3 steps, down the quarter of a block, to the realization that what I had felt within my being was actually aligned with what I saw, said to me, "Wait a minute, there's something else going on here." So that always was within me. That was something awakened within me as I continued to move through life and go through church. Now, I don't know where it came from. I was quite challenging in my church, my pastor. I was quite challenging. I wanted to know why women couldn't wear pants to church when I was like 15 or 16. I wanted to know why we couldn't stand in the pulpit and talk. Why was it only men? At that point, I was questioning, really, God only talks to men? How does that happen? What does that look like? What is that all about? And to explain to me what was this force and energy that propelled me out the house, down the steps, to the right, to the corner, to tell me my mother had been in an accident. Something, someone talked to me, moved me, resonated within my being. And I recently went back to that church, as I said, for the homecoming. And one of the younger girls then, who's younger than me, but that generation that followed me there, said, "I remember you. You were the first person to wear culottes to church." I realized not only was I questioning, I was actually acting on some of what I thought. How are things working like this? But there was always this conversation around the money piece. So I went on to college, and in college I began to study. I began to ask questions there as well. And I still held on to this experience that had happened for me. And I didn't have the word intuition then. I didn't have anything except for "you always know" for my mother. But for me, it ran parallel with religion. It ran parallel with religion until I began to do my own studying and my own research and my own reading and came across different books and things. But one of the things I can remember growing up, and you can let me know if it's true for you, again, star two, has anyone heard "you can't serve God and money"? Did anyone ever hear that growing up? You can't serve God and money. You can't serve them both. You got to either choose one or the other. You can't serve God and money. So in that teaching, we were already taught that they were separate and apart. One was good, and that's just a very basic, you know, for time and whole conversation. One was good, one was bad. If you served God, then you couldn't, basically it would almost imply you couldn't have money. And if you liked money, oh my gosh, then you were going to be in trouble with God. That you couldn't put your trust in riches. You know, that wealth was, it wasn't good. It was for greedy, those who were greedy. What I want you to understand from this created an impact on the relationship that you then had with God and money. And unless you've been willing to challenge it, to look at it, to question it, to explore it, then it is and continues to impact your relationship with God and money and in your life and in your business, in your homes, in how you handle your cash, in your involvement with credit cards, the addiction with credit cards, because you will find that many of you will be willing to spend a credit card, put something on a credit card, and keep your cash because you want to hold on to your cash. I'm going to hold on to my cash, but I'll put on a credit card as if your credit card is not still your cash. Does that resonate for anyone? That makes sense. You hold on to your cash and use a credit card. Okay, so you're saying yes. So this teaching, though, was something that was handed down unless you took the time to do the research. This is just something you were told. See, no one asked me. My mother took me to Tabernacle Faith Baptist Church. I grew up in the Baptist Church. I really didn't know too much about any other religions or any other thinkings and beings except for this parallel experience that ran alongside mine. And the fact that as I continued to grow up, my mother kept saying, "you always know." So I knew there was some credence and some validity to this ability that I had to always know certain things and then to follow up on it. I get this sense of something. I call my mother and say, "what's going on?" She would tell me. So that just affirmed that there was something within me that was guiding me. And when she said yes, it confirmed it. So if we haven't looked at it, then what you end up with, which is what one lady, young lady said to me, all of you are young, it's okay, that who had been listening to my "You Plus God Plus Money" audio, she said, "well, you know, I like it because you said God had," her interpretation of what I said was that God had a house and money had a house. It was as if the two shall never meet. So when you wanted something over here, depending on what you go into God's house, and when you wanted something over here, you go into money's house. Well, I don't know about you, but that just drove me crazy throughout my years of growing up and dealing with money for far, far, far too many years. And my intention is that it's not that way for you too much younger, if at all. So let's look at the result of this teaching. Do any of you feel like no matter what you do, you will never have enough money? Okay, so no matter how hard you work, right, how many jobs you have, you'll never have enough money. Okay, I see you, I acknowledge you, thank you. Is there anyone who feels as if there's just a bottomless hole when it comes to money? Okay, I'm just making sure you're on the right call, talking to the right people. And have you began to become more aware since The Secret or the Law of Attraction and all this positive conversation that it seems like everybody else, or at least some other people, can attract money in abundance, but you're not able to, or you're not able to attract it on a consistent basis? Or on a sustainable basis. You can attract it. Maybe one of the ladies said to me, it'll come and then it'll stop. It'll come and it'll stop. And you want it to just come all the time. So, okay, I see you all. So this becomes the result of the teaching that we've had, because we've got God in one house and money in another house. So now let's look at it from business perspective. How many of you that are entrepreneurs, coaches, executives, are parapreneurs, authors, how many of you get paid or charge the amount in your business that you know that you're worth? Versus how many of you charge what you think you can get? Okay. A lot of you. And I understand that because I did the same thing too. If I had something that I had put time and hours and not to mention my wisdom, my experience into it, and I thought that you'd only pay $197, then that's what I would charge. If I thought you would pay $297, then that's what I would charge. But this is the result of the teaching around where we start at the very beginning. You can't serve God and money. Now, I'll come to it, but I think it's really clear that we're not trying to serve money. And I think that's where it got confused. We're not trying to serve money. I don't know how you would serve money. But let me ask this. How do you feel when you think about money? Is there anybody that can say you love it when you think about money? You love having it, creating it, and you're excited about it. Star two. I really want to see. You can say, I love money. I love having it. Thank you back there, creating it, excited about it. Yes. Yeah, look at you. Wow. Nice. And you're not concerned that heaven's going to fall on your head or God's going to be mad at you. So tell me this. When you think of doing something that's fun, you think of something that you just really want to do. You want to do it. You want to enjoy it. If it's a trip, it's a vacation. You're planning a vacation or you're planning a trip. What do you say to yourself about it? Do you say, I can't afford it? Okay, great. So nobody says I can't afford it. Okay, so, some of you are saying you can't afford it. Okay, more of you are saying you can't afford it. More of you are saying you can't afford it. Okay, I can't afford it. Okay, so here's another answer. Maybe you say, or any of you say, I'll save, and then maybe I'll get it, but you'll save for it. You'll save for the trip. You'll save for the retreat. You'll save for the car. You'll save for the vacation. Okay, some of you say you'll save. Okay, I've got more people saying I can't afford it. And how many of you say simply, yes, I want it, I'm going to have it, the universe is supporting me, I don't even know where, what, but I know I want it, the universe is going to support me and the money will come. And you believe it and hold on to that.
Okay.
So I have less than half of you out of 50, 60 people. So here's the last one I want you, and I'm asking you these questions for you to see where you are in your relationship with money, with the universe, and with God. When you have, when you're carrying, let's say, $400 cash in your wallet, so there's three different answers. Do you feel like you have to spend it because it's burning a pocket, a hole in your pocket? Anybody feel that? Do you feel like you, okay, I see a few of you do. Do you feel like you have to deposit it? You have to hurry up and deposit it. You walk around $400 for $100 bills. Okay, a few. And how many of you just feel great to have it and you can just walk around for a week or two with $400 in your wallet? I like $100 bills. I think they're pretty. Okay, so there's a few of you. And that's a tip I hadn't thought about throwing in for you, but that's a tip for you. Get your $100 bill tomorrow, put it in your purse, your wallet, and keep it. Don't spend it. Just know that it's there. Get comfortable and used to feeling the energy and the vibration of having a $100 bill in your wallet. For those of you who said, well, that may not be an option right now, then get a $50 bill and have it in your wallet or your pocket. So these are what I'm thinking of as the result of the teaching where we've got God in one house and money in another house. When I looked at healing for myself, the relationship, and it was midway through my life. So I really want this sooner, quicker, and faster for you. I mean, I really want to, for some of you to take the journey with me and spend time with me and walk you through this so you make the energetic shift and really get the clear understanding about the universe and how do you leverage the universe. How do you get to that point of what quantum physics teaches us about it all being energy so that you are living in alignment, you're thinking in alignment, and you have a knowingness so that you can be that highest component in your life. You can be that creator in your life and begin to manifest the manna of the reality that you want. I really do want that for each and every one of you. What I had to do, what I did is, and I made it was a radical statement, some may say. I just did it myself. I didn't even tell anybody. I had already experienced a bit of the fallout from this parallel living that I was doing with the statement from my mother of you always know, and trusting that sometimes and not trusting it and forgetting about it other times, and then what I had learned in church. So what I decided one day, just on my own, after doing my own reading and my own studying, is I decided that I needed a bigger God. I needed a bigger God. I decided that I was moving money and God into the same house. And I can remember saying to God and to the universe, if this isn't okay, I'm sure you will let me know. If this isn't okay, then I know you know my heart. But there is no way in what I am just beginning to glimpse of what this is all about that there is not a bigger presence that allows for the manifestation and includes money. Because the principle of exchange comes from God. The trees give us air. The trees are created by God, life in the universe. They give us the air that we breathe. There's an exchange that's always going on all the time. And so I just made that choice on my own. I moved God and money into the same house. I put everything in that house. My health, my love, my relationships, my poor judgment, my days of you know, doing drugs and things like that, my indiscretions in relationships, I put everything in the same house, everything. And I put money in the same house. The relationship that I had with God had to be bigger. My God had to be bigger. When I do my calls, when I do my prosperity calls, and some of those of you who are from the Black Women Millionaire, one of the freebies that you got is we'll do a prosperity call at the end of April. And anyone on these calls over the next 5 weeks, you will get an invitation to join me. And I start that call off by saying my God is big enough for everybody. Whatever religion you've been taught, whatever you've decided for yourself, it's big enough. Because I'm talking about life, I'm talking about the universe, I'm talking about what's infinite. And I understand that the particular doctrines that have been created by different sects, religions, denominations, and they have their rules and their rituals, but at the core of each of them, when I studied for my own training as a day minister, at the core of them are really some key principles. And when I did my community, my church community, for 15 years, I did it based on those key principles of love and forgiveness, of stewardship, and it included money and tithing. And I pretty much left the rituals up to outside of meditation, prayer, affirmative prayer, prosperity prayer, to each individual if their heart was called to do something else. But it had to be bigger. There couldn't be any separation. There couldn't be any divisiveness. There couldn't be any division. This person isn't good. This person won't get in heaven. That person's going to go here. None of that. And I said that all to God. I want us all. We're all yours. There's one power, one presence, one universe that created us. It's not 5,000 different. It's just one. So I'm bringing us all one in. And I included money in that as well. So part of healing that relationship is just that. Can you bring money into alignment with God? Can you recognize, for so long we heard that teaching about money was the root of all evil, but those who know the scripture said the love of money was the root of all evil. Well, see, I had a problem with that too, because I'm not in love with money to the point that I'm going to kill, murder, steal for it. I understand, you know, when the scriptures are saying something like that you just love money so much that you're going to kill. No, it was just, I like money. I like the way it looks. I like the colors. I love European money. I like the designs. I like cash. I don't even like credit cards. I got into so much trouble with credit cards. Oh, my gosh. Because I was holding on to my cash, and I would put things on the credit card when the truth was, for me, and the truth is probably for some of you, I just didn't have the money. So instead of just saying, Janine, you don't have the money for those shoes. You don't have the money for that suit. You don't have the money for that trip. And not do it, have that kind of respect for the process and for money, I would just put it on a credit card. So that even became a question for me to have a conversation about, because I don't love it like I love my son, you know. There's not that. It's just I like to have cash. I always say to myself if there were any kind of emergency, and I had to get out this city, off this planet, or whatever. I think like that sometimes. Nobody going to take my credit card. I can give somebody some cash money, and they'll get me to another state if I need to, or they'll get me to Canada, or whatever. So are you willing to serve God only and allow it to include money? So you'll have to be willing to look at that. I don't have an angry God. That just bothered me growing up. When I look at the trees, and I take a lot from nature, and I look at the universe, and I look at the way things are, I look at a seed that's put in the soil, a seed that's big as a pin, and it grows into a tree, and you want to tell me that that power is going to get mad at me? Because we're using money as an exchange for services or to buy food, and because I want to have more of it. I'm talking about a presence that puts the wetness in water. We can do a lot of things, but we can't put wetness in water. I'm talking about a presence that puts the sweetness in the nectar that's in the fruit. And that kind of power and presence is going to be upset with me. And I said, okay, well, I'll take the hit for it. If that's the truth, then okay, well. But right now, I'm putting everything in God's house. Because that's that infinite power and presence. So when I move through life, when I create the life that I create, when I create what I create with my clients in their businesses, in their lives, and in their house, when people come and spend the weekends with me for my retreats and I work with them to move energy blocks and to shift their energy, I'm creating from this infinite supply. I'm not creating from something that's fragmented. I'm not running from one side of the street to God's house or another side of the street to money's house. It's all the same house. There's only one. Power, presence, energy, life, manifesting as 7 billion people. So I'm creating out of, pulling from, living in alignment with this one power. So I made a decision to put everything in God's house. That was the decision that I made. Then I made the decision to shift what came with that, and healing that was the shift how I saw myself. I shifted how I saw myself. Because, see, for a long, 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 long time, I thought I was my mom and dad's child. A long time. I was Mary's child. I was Bob's child. His name was Robert. Then in my mid-30s, my mother made her transition. She was the last one of an incredible tribe of people that I grew up with that I love so deeply and dearly and still love them now. My dad had made his transition. My grandmother, I loved her, still do. My aunts, my Uncle Jimmy, Aunt Faye, she was just a hot mess, feisty, cursed all the time, cigarettes hanging out of her mouth, looked like a Marilyn Monroe, size 14. And it all made their transition. My mom was the last one. When my mom made her transition, I found out I was adopted. And what was interesting, because everyone talked to me when I go back to the church, they said, oh, that's Mary's daughter, that's Mary's daughter. And then with that, I pulled thread. You know, you pull a thread on something, it just unravels everything. So in that, I found out that I'd been put in an orphanage as a baby. My father had an affair, and I was a product of that affair. Somewhere in there, because I don't have the information, because, of course, everybody had made their transition. He and his wife came to Omaha, Nebraska to get me, adopted me, and brought me back. So I grew up thinking I was Mary's daughter. But I had a question. You know how those things happen with your family and things? And I had a question because I looked so much like my father, but I didn't look anything like my mother. And that there was that nagging piece around that, too. There's always these little signs for me, this little, what I call now my intuition or spiritual hits that say, I wonder what that's about. So having identified myself as Mary's daughter, I'm looking at Mary and Robert to see, you know, their traits, what they do, how they do it, and that thinking I'm them. That I'm, you know, we're their offsprings. We're the offsprings of our parents. But what if you could define yourself larger than that? What if you could really define yourself larger than that? If you could really step into that awareness that you are an expression of God, you've been made in the image and likeness of God, rather than the image and likeness of your mom and dad. And for those of us who don't know our moms and dads, not just from adoption, but because they didn't grow up with you, they didn't weren't around when you're growing up, it becomes so powerful to really step into having been made in the image and likeness of God. And that they were the vessel through which we came through, but that what if we could really see ourselves as sacred souls? Understand ourselves as sacred souls. If you can really, really identify yourself as made in the image and likeness of God, how would you move through the world? How would you move through your life? How would you move through your business? If you could think of yourself bigger. Just think about that for just a moment. Because you're thinking you're your mom and your dad. So you're shortchanging yourself. There's a greater destiny, there's a greater birthright, a divine birthright, there's a greater calling, there's a greater identification that's been given to you that you're not stepping into. If and when your only identification is that you're your mom or your dad's child. And I say that from experience. I didn't realize until later on after he made his transition. I believe my father may have finished high school. I know my mother told me she was a LVN, a licensed vocational nurse, because at that time they were either nurses or wives or teachers. So there is nothing in that to say why I have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. I'm a licensed clinical therapist and I'm a licensed learning minister. I was the first generation to go to college. There's nothing in that if we take everything from our parents that would say that. That I have a six-figure income. There would be nothing in there to equate that to except for something bigger. My parents didn't have a six-figure income. So it really, I stand here, you know, amazed sometimes and just marveling sometimes at the life that I have created because I have stepped into spirit and riches. I move everything into one with God and live under that, live as that, live from that awareness, that thinking, that consciousness, that way of being. And I attribute all my success to it. I love God. I love God, life, and the universe. I don't have no problem with Jesus either. When they told me, well, Jesus is like your brother, I said, I got no problem with Jesus. Jesus ran, I won't say he ran, Jesus walked the earth with six crew, his posse was seven. We call them disciples. And he taught us. He said, I'm the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to show you how to do it. And if you do these things, you'll do things as great as I did. And his gift to us is what I'm saying to you. As I have been taught it, I'm sure you may have been taught something different because I heard it when I was growing up. When he said, when you see me, you see the Father, that there was a oneness between him and God. There was a oneness. There was no separation. There was a oneness. So not only did I decide to put everything in God's house, I made the decision to identify myself. Call me Janine, call me Rev, call me a lot of other different things maybe. But who I see myself as is that who has been made in the image and likeness of God. I am God in divine expression, like all the other 7 billion people on the planet and everything else in the universe and all this satellites and the solar systems and the stellar systems and the planets, all that, all of it. Because when we can identify ourselves larger, I was speaking at Agape about 3 weeks ago, and I said this. I don't know what came through me. It was so loud, and I almost felt bad because I felt like I was yelling at the people. Excuse me. And I remember saying to them, if you could identify yourself as having been made in the image and likeness of God, what would your life be like? If you could do that, not the abuse, not the alcoholism, not the failed marriages, not the getting fired, not the overweight, not the poor temper, not the diabetes, not the heart disease, none of that, but be willing to identify yourself as made in the image and likeness of God. What would your life be like? And they had no problem saying easy. Less stress. So I identified myself different. Love Mary, love Robert, love all that they did, whatever they created, and they still kept me around. But I went, as my mother used to always say, I went to the top. I went to that power and presence that created everything there is on the planet, including me. Because when you think about us, I mean, think about us. There's a sperm, you know, and the cells come together, and out of that comes a human being. That's pretty doggone powerful and mighty and infinite. See, when we are able to hold on to our vision, it's because oftentimes we've identified ourselves too small. And there's a lot of separation in our relationship with God for whatever reason. When we wonder if God really cares about us, it's because we are looking at ourselves too small. And we're forgetting that the fact that our heart is beating. At least last time I checked, I don't do anything to make my heart beat. Do you? Okay, nobody raised their hand. Okay? I don't do anything. I don't consciously stay attuned to the beating to say, okay, beat, 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 beat. I just go out about my business. So when we're in the midst of our experiences, and that's all that they are, they come and they go and they will continue to come and go, that's one of the biggest opportunities for us to begin to recognize. People always say who we are and whose we are. And I like that. The only thing is whose we are is usually smaller than the whose I'm thinking of. I want you over this next week, and I trust that you'll join me on the call next week as well, to begin to think about how big can you think of yourself as? How big can you identify yourself as? How big can you identify? Because when Jesus said, the things I did, you can do also. I take that at its word. The things you did, I can do also. Okay, let me see if I can do them. I don't want to walk on water. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about living in alignment and oneness with God. I'm talking about living an abundant life. His life is very abundant. Friends, people, hung out with people, took care, healing, touching life. You know, he was probably the first person, motivational person there was on the planet to do motivational speaking. Coaching, all of that. Listening, counseling, therapist, all of that. But even he knew, say, it wasn't me, it's God who sent me. I didn't do it. I got done doing it. It's the one who sent me. So I'm like, it's not me. It's not Mary and Robert. I appreciate them so much and love them. But it's the one that created me, the ultimate power and presence, that force that created me. So one of the things that I stopped doing, and that's probably the biggest radical thing, is I decided I wasn't going to be a sinner. I didn't like that label. I didn't like that because as I understood from my religious teaching, it meant miss the mark. It didn't mean bad or kicked out of the kingdom or made a mistake or just not good enough, and so you have to do everything you can to earn your goodness and your worth and your value because you were bad. So I made that choice as well. And all I'm saying is it brought me into a oneness and brought me into an alignment. So now you'll be and do what you be and do with whatever your religious teaching is. I'm just sharing mine. The key here is to what degree can you move everything into oneness with God? If you actually had a house and drew a house or thought of a house, that you take your money and put it in that house. So there is no God's house and money's house. There's just God. That you put your health in there, you put your relationship in there, you put your business in there, you put your clients in there, you put your dreams in there, you put everything in there. And begin to move forward from there. And in your conversations, you move forward from there. In your thinking, and more so your feeling, you move forward from there. In your stillness and your meditation, you move forward from there. Healing your relationship with God and money. And remember what that sacred text was talking about. What we were taught that you weren't supposed to serve God and money. I don't think any of us want to, quote, serve money. I don't know how you do that. When I do workshops and conferences and I speak and I put $100 bills on the floor, the whole time I'm talking, that $100 bill stays there. Nobody is bowing down to it. Nobody is praying to it. Nobody is doing anything. It just stays there minding its own business. So it then means in our own consciousness that we move our money into an alignment with God, that the ultimate power behind the money is our thinking. And if we give it greater value than everything else, then that's on us. And that's when it stops flowing. That's when it disappears. But when we can keep it all in alignment, it will overflow in your life. It will overflow in your life. So that's the beginning of healing your relationship with God and money. There are some decisions you get to make or not. They just may be too radical for you. I realize as I've studied this, I guess I've kind of been somewhat radical. But I really don't think it's radical. I just studied, I looked, I read, I compared things, and I realized, wait a minute, we created a lot of this stuff. I want to go to what God created, what God offered, what God says, what God does. And as far as I know to this day, there's no religion, no priest, no person who puts that sun up in that sky every day or who makes sure those stars don't fall on my head while I'm sleeping at night. So I'm going to that source. And if that source can take care of all of that, then I know that source can take care of me, my money, my family, my business, my clients, and all of that. And if that source continues to breathe the breath into me, then I'm going to identify myself with it. My mama's not breathing my breath. My mama's not making my heart beat and making this incredible, I can't even begin to describe this thing called a body that we move through life in. So I just, okay, I'm going to the source. That's why I call God source or life. A universe, because it's all the same one to me. So you get to decide how you identify yourself. And I'm just saying, identify yourself larger and move everything into one house with God. That's the beginning step, a needlepoint move that you can make to heal your relationship, to have greater success.